Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. We are here with Jake Vandenplas, DC Farm for Vets. It's phenomenal. Jim, you got some other things that people want to do
here? You know, that's pretty cool. Like, thank you for sending this in. This lady wrote a book on 100 things to do in Green Bay, and she only listed five so that we have to buy her book. And we thought, well, we're going to save the money, and we're going to ask our listeners. So, a couple more things that came in. The Malva Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
Ben or Johnny?
No, I have not.
We've been invited there.
Yes.
Super nice people.
Uh-huh.
I haven't been to, what is this, Misty Ridge Orchard? Rush Apples?
I don't know.
You know where that is,
You
Jake?
Know that one, Jake?
I don't know that one, but it sounds fun.
It sounds really fun.
They said apple cider.
Fresh apple cider, donuts right out of the fryer.
You had
great place
donuts.
For kids. I agree. I right out of the fryer type thing. Give me one of those.
Yep.
I mean,
right.
I might be a health food guy, but
that's,
I'll break my,
a little
for that.
Looks like it's on Advent Road in De Pere.
Okay. I don't know that
Me
is.
Either.
But
I don't.
I love places like that. I really do.
Sounds okay. Like there's a field trip in the works.
Absolutely.
There we are. We'll
also,
have to.
I mentioned a St. Norbert football game. That's true. A St. Norbert football game in the Saturday afternoon at that stadium is a lot of fun.
Yeah. I haven't been there for
beautiful.
A long time. I went to school there and we weren't very good. But
yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff to do. And I think that's great that this lady wrote a book. She's only 27 and wrote a book. It's published about the 100 things to do in Green Bay before you die.
Well, Jake is doing 100 things a day.
Every day.
Every day at his farm in Door County. Jake, tell us a little bit. But we were just talking about some of the things that you guys do. But it's more than just growing food. I mean, it's mind-boggling how deep you've gotten into this, huh?
Oh yeah, it's easy to do, but when you got a passion for health, and especially with the mental health, it's easy to go down and dive in real deep.
Jake, I was saying that I read somewhere that if you have a bookshelf or you have a library,
yes,
and a garden,
correct,
you're set for life.
Well fed and well read, that's the way to be.
And you really look at not just growing this unbelievable produce that we're eating here, but it's the whole therapy side of it. Talk a little bit more about that.
And that's a big thing. Watching something grow from the seed to your table is therapeutic. Getting your hands in the dirt. I don't know if it's the microbes in the soil, but you just feel better. You really, really do. There's something involved with like grounding. So there's a lot of times when we're working out in the field, I just take my shoes off and I'm in there cultivating barefoot. Getting that grounding is actually very, very important. That's I encourage everybody to do that. That actually reconnects you back down with the gravity. That is, it's a big, big thing. But these little tricks like that and the healthy food and just working with the soil is very rewarding. And then you get the good food after it.
Yeah.
That's the best.
How do you do it? Okay. Because I mean, obviously the big places, and I don't know much about farming and growing stuff or anything like that, but obviously you hear about, you know, organic now versus pesticides versus whatever. You've studied that like crazy. How, you know, there used to be a theory that you couldn't grow sustainable food that would last for, you know, to get shipped from California to Wisconsin without doing those things. Where are we along those lines?
We are fully chemical free, and we focus really hard on making sure that when this product is harvested, the time frame from harvest to your table is as short as possible. Okay. And that's what we really want to get. This corn was only picked 2 days ago, and it will all be gone within that day. It's already gone. This is all I got left.
Oh, okay.
You're doing all this on 40 acres?
Actual planting wise, we got 20 acres segregated off for the rotational grazing of ruminants. We did apply and get accepted for a substantial grant to actually fence off that 20 acres. We're going to be getting started on that project here in the next couple of weeks. But overall growing, I want to say we have at least 5 acres under cultivation right now. And that's all we're going to have. So that 40 acre property is actually being set up to be almost like a schoolyard. We want to actually give tours. So we get, it's Door County. We get 2.5 million people that roll through Door County from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And we want to get a percentage of those people out on the farm. So we can actually show people, this is how your tomatoes should be grown. This is how your corn should be grown, chemical free and sustainable.
Why are you doing this, Jake?
Multitude of reasons. The biggest reason we do this here is to actually combat veteran suicide. Okay, that's a big portion of it. So, yes, we've got the property being set up at the schoolhouse, but we're also rolling into a Victory Garden program to help veterans get set up with gardens in their own backyards. The veteran suicide rate is actually much worse than we all anticipated. There's an article I just read from Mission Recall about the actual suicide rate with veterans. The VA hasn't been counting it accurately this entire time. So last year they had dropped that number down to 17 veterans a day. And they get their data from county-level reporting, and not all counties actually report that. So when Mission Recall actually dove in, that number is still between 20 and 24 veterans a day that are committing suicide.
And I really hate to say this, but every time I look at it, at the obituaries in the paper or whatever, and you see somebody fairly young, and you see that they were a recent veteran, and they say die unexpectedly, I'm sorry, but my mind goes right to...
Every time.
Yeah, you too?
And another thing, the VA doesn't actually count as far as... veteran suicide rate, they don't count overdoses. So you actually count in like overdoses or single vehicle accidents or what the Mission Roll Call claimed is self-inflicted mortality, that number is actually, for veteran suicide rate, is actually up between 40 and 44 veterans a day.
A day.
Every day. Wow. And
so tell me about, I think that's really cool that you're, I think a lot of people do get into organic farms for the product.
It
you
is.
Know, and yep. I and you mentioned that, and you have the great part. But, I mean, you're really, what the impetus for this was suicide prevention.
Correct, yes.
And are you hearing that? Is that working? Are there people that are connecting, and how can they get connected? Tell us a little bit more about the connection between our organization and your goal.
Our veteran community is continuing to grow. That's the part that's important to me. So when you're in service, you have your community. You have those that are around you that you're serving with.
Yep.
And when you get out, you kind of feel like a lone wolf. That community isn't there anymore. That's why our Thursday night harvest party is a very important part of our organization, because that's the night that we all get together. We harvest for a couple of hours, so we're working for a little bit.
But can I just say one quick thing, Jay? I'm going to interrupt you, but that's the same mission in some ways. You know what the small houses that we're talking about building here in Green Bay? You know what we did with the veteran? It's having these people together. Supporting one another. Is such an important aspect. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I've seen it firsthand, so go ahead.
You're absolutely right. It's getting those communities we'll build back together and getting the veterans together on a routine basis. So even after we're working on a Thursday night harvest party for a couple of hours, we always have a meal. Doesn't matter where you are in the world, community is always built around food. So we have the high-quality produce, the nutrient-dense produce, so you feel better. Your overall health improves, and if you feel good, it actually affects your mental health, and that's the goal that we have. We're building the community. We're getting folks back together. So if there are any issues, and we talk a lot about a lot of veterans' issues when we are sitting around the table. So if anybody has any issues with the VA or that they need, or they're struggling with, I might not have the answer, but I know somebody that I can connect them with that does have the answer. But it's getting folks back together. And with the tiny homes, we actually are having them come up in October to come take a tour of the farm as well.
Oh, awesome. Fantastic.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to be able to actually get some gardens set up for them at the tiny home village.
That was going to be my next question.
Yep. That is in the works. We would like to get in there and start breaking ground this fall, because that's an important part of actually building your soil is actually getting a solid cover crop in fall time.
Oh.
That's a big thing. And also for like weed protection and stuff like that, or weed eradicate. Grass is a pain in the butt to kill off.
Did you ever watch the TV series Turn? I want to say Netflix is about spies in the Revolutionary War.
No.
Well, anyway, a lot of the revolutionary guys were failed farmers. Okay. And this is part of the thing, because it's all based on a thing where the guy was taken captive by this just horrific French guy who was fighting for the British at the time, whatever, from Canada, came down, and he was tortured the guy and everything. And the guy was like, it doesn't matter. I failed as a farmer. And the guy's like, what'd you grow? He goes, cabbage, full of bugs every year. He goes, well, when do you plant? He goes, well, in the spring. He goes, no, you can't. And he explained how you got to plant before the frost.
You plant before the frost.
And then that kills the thing. And there's a through part from the Revolutionary War.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There's certain, and this is the stuff that we learn. Like, I mean, even when you're planting like potatoes, the potato beetles are a big thing with potatoes, okay? So you got some farmers will plant them early in the spring. It's a 60-day to harvest crop. But if you actually wait until like late July to plant your potatoes, you still have enough growth season left, and you miss the entire migration of that potato beetle.
I remember picking potato beetles
and
putting them in a coffee can and burning them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way to get rid of them.
Or chickens. Chickens work pretty good with that, too.
Don't bet, yeah.
Yeah, you let them in there, and they'll clean them right up.
I was looking at your website during the break, and you have great looking food, the potatoes that you have quite a variety of that stuff. It's all like, I bet it tastes great, but it just has that extra, I don't know, shine to it. Just it's awesome.
We take pride in what we do, and we want to be able to provide us a high quality product that's nutrient dense, because it's important. When we're taking our health seriously, it all starts with the food that we consume. So we want to reconnect people with their farmers. We want to be able to teach veterans how to grow and store food, and that's where we're actually introducing the Victory Garden for next year as well.
And let's talk a little bit about that. I got a text here. Yeah. Has your veterans farm reached out to the Oneidas with their agricultural program?
Not yet, but that sounds like a great idea.
It does. Sounds like a great combo.
Good partnership.
But you guys will put in a garden for somebody, correct?
Correct. So what we're working towards is a Victory Garden. There's actually a lot of history with veterans in the Victory Garden. So during World War I, when everyone was deployed overseas, there wasn't enough people back in the United States of America to actually grow food. So the government actually came through and designed something called the Victory Garden.
By the way, which is one reason they started giving deferments for essential farm help in World War II.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So there's a lot of history between veterans and farming and growing food. And that Victory Garden is set up. It's 25 feet by 50 feet. And that should grow about 3/4 of the food a family of five need to sustain themselves for an entire year. So obviously, there's probably not a whole lot of families of five left over, and not a lot of people have enough space in their backyard. So it is scalable, but we want to be able to get veterans set up with this garden in their backyard so that they've got, one, we'll open up the ground for them and start getting the weeds and stuff eradicated. We're going to get them the tarp to be able to stale everything out. We want to get them the irrigation system, all the cultivating tools. We want to get them set up with the pressure canner and all the mason jars so that they can grow and store their own food year one. We're probably only going to take on 2 veterans a year because this is going to be kind of an intense project, walking folks through this, because we're going to teach them how to grow it and we're going to teach them how to store it all in the same year. But that we're putting those numbers and stuff together, and we'll probably start fundraising for that probably this January.
Outstanding. Let us know what we can do to help with this, huh?
Definitely appreciate
it. Jake,
that.
I think what you're doing is just remarkable. I mean, the depths you're going to with all this is incredible.
And I just really want to applaud you for reaching out to the schools and the students. I mean, these kids are our future farmers, our future everything. You
absolutely.
Know? And
some,
you know, these kids who are in 4th, 5th grade, they're going to be 21 years old in 10 years. And that goes so fast. And it's amazing. So you really want to get to them, you know, or come to TC and teach a class. I mean,
we're here for it.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big programs we do in springtime is our transplant.
Got a quick thing here. I'm becoming a member to honor a beloved family member and Vietnam vet who died by suicide. Thank you for what you're doing, Jake.
That's awesome.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that.
Well, you're going to be a regular on here. We're going to help promote what you're doing as much as possible, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Jake Van de Plas.
Thanks for the
DC
corn.
Farm for Vets. He is awesome. Stop up there. Back after this.
Eyes that look like heaven. Lips like cherry.
Man, I remember this song, Carlton. That's
bring back memories.
Oh my gosh! They were a fun group, but they treated us right.
I think there's one that I think it's that guy with a real deep voice.
Joe is sick though, right? I mean, he was a small guy that had bass.
Be honest with me though. They've been in the don't you think I could fill in?
Maybe for that. Maybe that one song.
Giddy up.
But boy, they had the.
Yes or no?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You don't know the words.
So?
Those are pretty simple words.
I heard
words.
It in my head, guys.
Yes, you hit it, and you heard the tone in your head.
I heard it.
Jim's right. You got the words wrong on Oompa Mau Mau.
I heard
that's,
it.
That's wow. Right. Anyway, yes.
Okay, hang on. We got to do something important.
But just the Oak Ridge Boys, though. I mean, it's Country Music Day. What happened with them? They were in the news lately. Recently.
Somebody passed away.
Okay, that's what it was.
What I thought.
All right. Okay.
Talk amongst yourself.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'll tell you what, that corn, that's tastes different. I love corn. It's different than the stuff you get at the store. I will say that. Much sweeter. So, the Oak Ridge Boys, they were great. We had so many country people there. Would Earl Scruggs qualify? Banjo?
For what?
Country?
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Bluegrass.
Oh, man. That was awesome.
Didn't he do the open to the Beverly Hillbillies?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was,
yeah.
And other guy that was there a lot was the guy from Tulsa on Hee Haw.
Buck Owens?
No.
No. Roy Clark?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man, he's great.
I love Roy Clark.
And,
you
know, and there's a great guy. Like nice to us peons, you know, lighting guys, sound guys. He was super. He was great.
Okay. Got other ones here. Green Bay Holiday Parade, which is a cool thing to see.
Well, that is cool. Well, that's nice to think about that. That is a good one.
I hate being in parades.
That's because you miss the parade.
I hate being in parades.
I don't like them because you miss them.
I don't.
We just had a meeting yesterday about all the parades you guys are going to be in for the holidays.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I like when being mayor, you're the first, you know, they obviously had the military, but then you're the first one. So you get done with the parade and you come back and you see a whole lot of the parade. Whereas
these kids
that are like the pom-pom girls, it's like they're missing a pretty cool parade.
Yeah, I agree.
That Green Bay parade's good.
Oshkosh parade is pretty cool. Too.
90 ever been there, different floats in there.
Oh, yeah. All volunteer concerts at the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center. The monthly concerts are free with an 80-piece orchestra. Or another thing, going to the thing at the park and then come over to your house for hot dogs.
Oh, the city band concert. Yeah. You know what? I hope that's in her list.
Yeah.
It's the longest continuous playing municipal band in the United States.
I know.
I hope that's in her book. I'm going to buy that book.
Hey, you know what was kind of cool for the game? I watched the game Sunday. I didn't go. And when they were doing all this, brought to you by, you know, Buick, yada, yada, by so-and-so, yada, yada. They had the Packer band playing behind them. And then it was timed so perfectly that when their last graphic dropped, it was
Kevin,
you know. Yeah, go Pack, go!
That's
it
awesome.
It was timed so perfect. It was unbelievable.
He just loves
that. And I don't know if they tried it intentionally, but they could not have planned it better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and then she wrote, you know, obviously see a Packer game is the number one thing, but she said tailgating as a separate unit.
Yeah, I agree.
We've gone tailgating and went home. It's just.
See, I've never done that. But,
oh, man.
Yeah.
And there's no traffic.
Yeah. You know, I got to talk. I'm having lunch with Murph today, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Murph and Tammy, and I'm going to ask him if he can find a commercial we did for Oneida Bingo and Casino one time where we reenacted. Have you ever seen that painting of two guys in the blaze orange out in the parking lot tailgating and watching the game in the snow?
Yeah.
We reenacted that picture like you can't believe for a commercial. I want to find that.
The blaze orange.
The blaze orange. We looked like these two guys tailgating. Yeah. And Oneida Casino did a commercial. I think they won a big award with it, too.
Well, that's fun.
I know. We got to find that.
Yeah.
I'll show it to you.
But that tailgating,
that's the closest I've come to tailgating.
Oh, man. No.
I've never tailgated.
What?
I've never fully tailgated in my lifetime. Because if I'm going to a game, I'm usually working the game or hosting people at the game or doing whatever at the game.
Well, when you host people, so that's when you want to tailgate. That's,
well, I know, but we didn't tailgate there. We just went to... We just met and went into the game. So, like, sometimes I'd be walking through and say, hey, Mino, have a beer with us type thing. And, hey, yeah, try my brats. These are special brats that I make. Yep. Yeah. You know, but to actually go to a game and have stuff and say, hey, that's the picture time.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the picture. And I was the number 34 guy.
Who played the snowman?
Murphy. Oh, no, snowman. I don't know. Yeah. No, that's the one. Wait till you see what they reenacted. I want to say it's HVS. Is HVS... still in production?
I don't even know what that is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was a commercial. I'll look it up. Commercial for what?
Oneida Bingo and Casino.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. We did one based on The Sopranos one time. Me and Ned the Dead did that one. So I used to be an actor, Jim. You don't give me enough credit for my acting expertise and experience.
That's you guys
you
made it
don't
big.
Give us enough experience
well,
or enough credit for the experience I've had.
Just getting started.
Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So very good of you to find that right away, Todd.
Yeah, right.
How could we find that commercial, though? That's the key. Any word with our...
I do not have him yet.
Okay.
We're still chasing that down.
Yeah, because here's what we're going to do.
We have till November 3rd, 2nd, 3rd.
For your group?
That's what our fundraiser is for New Community.
Yeah.
That Bullathon. Are we talking about your grill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna put an end to it. We're going to find it. I didn't renege, Jim.
Oh, Todd.
There's such a difference between that and what you think.
There's such a difference between reneging and saying you can have this and taking it back day and night. Not even close.
Before you knew what you had. That's the thing. And offered
I was standing right there when the guy gave it to you.
Okay.
What do you mean before I knew what I had? I knew it was a 28-inch
I didn't. It was dark. On the parking lot.
It was not.
It was true. It was really.
I was going to help you load it into your car.
I know. I think you did, didn't you?
And it was light as can be. It was.
They need more lighting out the Riverside. Other people were talking about that too. Even they said Buddy Holly complained about that back in the day. Just being honest. We got Mike Campbell, founder president of Team One, coming up. They had a spectacular event that finished up Friday.
Yeah.
I felt so bad. I wanted to go. They're having their thing. Don Davey was there, and everybody was there.
And
but it was from 6 to 8, and I had to go to Luxembourg to do a football game.
Hagemeister said it was awesome.
Oh,
talked to him yesterday. Yeah.
Can you imagine if I was there? How much more awesome it would have been?
Oh, just the same.
A lot.
Just, yeah.
What?
Okay.
What? A lot more awesome.
Yeah, of course.
I think a lot of people were saying.
But that's cool. That
would have
been
so much fun. It was unbelievable. It would have been unbelievable.
Did they take off and go like another crazy distance?
Didn't they do 1,700 miles or something?
Yeah. He was telling me about that yesterday.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So we'll be talking with him about that because that finished up this weekend. We got McLeod Hageman, NBC 26, our neighborhood focus reporter.
Yeah,
we got Grant Soletsky. Grant Soletsky is with the National Guard here in town, Wisconsin Army National Guard. They're gearing up, still getting stuff going, and we're going to talk with him about some special projects that are going on with the National Guard. And we've got our Go for the Green or Gold text to win contest coming up in a little bit. It's on WGBW and WISS, your chance to win cash or jewelry and to qualify for some really cool things. And by the way, Kyle, who is our winner in our Jordan Love Pick'em contest, his cap is sitting here. Kyle, I'm going to give you till the end of the week to claim that hat, or I'm wearing that hat. That's a nice hat. Green.
Oh, that's cool.
It's dark yours green is red, Packer mine's blue. NFL draft cap.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very cool.
That would be... That'd probably be the best color.
Oh, without question. Those other ones were pretty cool.
Those are. I mean, I like it because they cool really colors. Stand out.
Yes.
That's all right. Cool. All right, here we go.
A quick break. We come back. We'll talk with Mike Campbell, founder, president of Team One, what did with the Packers last week. Actually, for the last couple of weeks. An amazing event. Back after this.
The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Places that I've never been.
7:34 right now. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor, and it's time to text to win in the green or gold giveaway contest. And Jim and John have all the details for you.
Yes, thank you very much. It's time for our Go for the Green or Gold text to win contest on WGBW and WISS. It's your chance to win cash or jewelry and to qualify for the grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see Green Bay take on New Orleans at Lambeau on December 23rd.
And this hour's keyword is gold. G-O-L-D. That's gold. Download the Civic Media app, find our station, and use the text button at the bottom of your screen to send the keyword for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
It's gold, Jerry. It's gold. It's from Seinfeld. Remember that one, Todd?
No.
With Banya?
Yeah.
Anything Jerry would say, he'd like, ah, ha, 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 ha. That's gold, Jerry.
Oh, that
that's
guy.
Gold.
That guy was hilarious. That he was guy, so weird, he was funny.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. All right.
Absolutely.
So, again, this hour's keyword is gold.
And then you got another one coming up at 11, Todd?
11 o'clock is your next chance to play along with Matt Nair on air. That's Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
But we need people right now.
Well, we do, because it's a contest with all the shows. Because
they'll have a different word.
They'll have a different word.
So we got to get our people to test that in. Yep. So
you're correct.
It's so easy to do, right? Civic Media.
Download the app. Right. Easy to do and play along for the next 2 weeks.
Outstanding.
All right.
Let's go to our special guest, Todd. We have Mike Campbell, founder, president of Team 1 Mile on the phone. Mike, first of all, congratulations.
Oh, awesome.
As much fun as events like that are, having been involved with lots of things, Jim and Todd and I, when it's all over, there's kind of a good feeling, correct?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. Absolutely. Feels like the day after game day, right?
Yeah.
It's a little surreal. Obviously, we have bittersweet emotions. It's over. It was a tough ride. It was really tough. The vertical, the climbing, distance, everything just starts to really, really add up. But I tell you what, I couldn't be more proud of the team. I get the opportunity to almost be a proud parent as I watch these strangers come together and just take on an unbelievable challenge.
Well, go ahead and explain that. Just start from the beginning, if you don't mind, Mike, and then I'll let Jim jump in and rip it apart because that's what he does. He finds, you know, little holes in somebody's strategy. Yeah. And
so not true. I
go ahead.
I don't know why John didn't participate like he said he was going to. But go ahead.
You have a bad bike seat. I told you that.
A bad bike seat.
Yeah, and you have to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you talk to the teammates, a lot of them will at some point during the week kind of question, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And how did you find me? And damn it, you're good at talking us into doing things that are way out of our comfort zone. But, you know, to be honest, guys, I'm going to make a long story short, but about 6 years ago, I kind of came up with the idea as I was getting to know more and more veterans and hearing their stories. And I've had a lot of friends and kind of come from the athletic side of the world. And the stories were so similar. The defining purpose, setting goals, the living with challenges, all those kind of things, they were losing touch with. And so I thought, first, I'm going to create a network. And the network's a global network of just both sides of that, of the community, the veteran community and the athletic community. So after I put this network together, it was funny because it's a lot like we think about social media. It always ended up with a so what. You know, I'm connected to these people. I'm connected to this person. You can name drop all you want, but ultimately it still comes down to so what. And then I had a moment of, they are right. Unless I can get these individuals to do something, then it is absolutely just a so what. So that was the birth of Team 1 Mile. And so the team is somewhat cherry-picked out of the larger network. And then we take on these epic challenges. First couple of years, we raced across America. The upside was it was a sanctioned event. It's big. It's 3,000 miles. It's coast to coast. It's exciting. Great awareness. But we weren't impacting anybody. You know, it felt empty on that side of it. We were literally racing 24/7.
But so I just want to say that you were onto something there, because if the common thread is goal setting, you know, and you got these guys together, that's a hell of a goal to go from one side of our country to the other.
Well, you know, yes. And I also realized the carrot had to be big enough for me to attract a lot of the individuals that we've had on the teams. You know, if it were something small, if it were something kind of a day or a weekend event, everybody's busy.
Yeah.
But when I threw out the opportunity in the sense of, hey, let's race coast to coast.
That's awesome.
Against other teams from other countries as a patriotic team. Yeah, you know, then I had the combat veterans and the Navy SEALs and all these guys saying, hey, this is right up my alley, I'm in. Along with the professional athletes or former professional athletes, they too would say, this excites me.
Right.
So then again, kind of fast forward, we went down to Florida. It was almost a test run. We went down to Florida, and I created the whole plan from start to finish. We rode from Key West all the way up to Jacksonville and stopping in six cities, hosting six events. And it was great. We really loved it. And they wanted us back. But damn it, I felt like it was time to bring it to my home state. And I thought we were primed and ready to do it. And I tell you what, I'm still a little bit in awe of how Wisconsin has turned out. And you got to remember, I would say probably 80-90% of the team have never been to Wisconsin, much the roads of Wisconsin, which from the beginning excited me because we just have some beautiful backcountry roads.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many aspects of this that I could talk about each individual aspect alone for the next day.
So how many miles did you bike here in Wisconsin?
So, yeah, so we were just over 700. And so, you know, if you break that down, it's, you know, 100 plus a day, which was also my goal because a lot of us have done century rides. A lot of people have done century rides. But even some of our bigger endurance athletes, they too sat back and said, yeah, but I've not done century rides for 6 days in a row. And that, again, starts to tap into something that nobody has done.
So where did you guys start in Wisconsin, Mike?
Sure. So this year we started down in Kewaska because we have the Wisconsin 9/11 Memorial.
Okay.
So I thought that was a perfect kickoff for us to start. So we had the opportunity to go there, have a little ceremony in the beginning, kind of a send-off. And then we made our way over to Prairie du Sauk.
Okay.
North, was it a little bit northwest of Madison?
And how many people did you have traveling with you at the time?
Yeah, the entourage is kind of big. And again, this is the biggest year I've had, but we had 21 riders and about another, 10 to 15. And I calling them support is almost an understatement. So it's just tough to use that word, but they are there to, help on the leadership side, whether it's logistics, driving, nutrition, all the things that are needed to keep us moving. But it also included our musicians, our guest speakers, our MC. So we have some other people that don't ride, but have very, very important roles.
Well, that's...
And that too, guys, that too is a tough sell because, we're bringing people in from all over the country. And our MC, for instance, was from Austin, Texas. His story is really, really powerful. Never been to Wisconsin. And he came to Wisconsin to support us, but he wasn't riding. So it's kind of like, hey, will you come and ride along and help and support and kind of be in the background? And then at night, if you don't mind kind of playing the MC role and keeping things flowing. So it's not the glory and the accolades of saying, hey, you're going to be on the team riding, but it's like any other team, any other sporting team, the guys and people in the background are more important than anybody realizes.
And you enjoyed the Wisconsin roads more than Key West up to Pensacola?
Yeah. And, hey, listen, I love Florida. I really do.
Oh, yeah, it's a good state.
And, what I learned when I was down there was, and we forget this, in Florida, the roads are meant to get from A to B. That's the only reason they're there. In Wisconsin, we have this unusual thing called country roads, farm roads. So, and I forgot about that. The states that don't have farming,
right?
They don't have roads that are crisscrossing all the back, the back countryside. Right. Their roads are just meant. And then with that, in Florida, for instance, they're just heavily traffic and it is busy and a little nerve-wracking for cyclists.
So, Mike, when you guys got to Wisconsin, you had some Packer players jump aboard. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me go back a little bit. So Don Mikowski, Magic, and I have been friends for 30 years. So when I started to develop and brainstorm about 1 mile, he was a big part of that, right? Because his story is equally powerful. And talking to him and then talking to, again, some of the veterans, I'm like, you guys have the same struggles. But again, your communities don't talk to each other. And if you do, you don't really open up. You don't share the conversation of really the struggles behind the scenes because both are in a position to be, you guys are tough, you're warriors, suck it up, don't sit around and talk about your struggles. Nobody wants to hear about it, but they're there. So that was the start of it. But fast forward, I got in touch with Don Davey, who is an avid cyclist, Ironman athlete, and he loved the idea. And so Don's been on, now three of my teams, and he's a big part of the team. And if you talk to my teammates, as I think you guys already know, Don has a larger than life personality, and he leaves such a great impression on all these other teammates that show up. And then so Don also plays a role with helping us get in touch with other players or other organizations. This year we also made a stop over at Lambeau. And again, you look at the teammates who've done so many things in their life, and these combat veterans have been all over the world fighting in battles. All of a sudden, they're in awe of walking around looking at Lambeau.
That's cool.
And you guys, as you can attest, the feeling is I sit back and I'm just, this is awesome. This is so right.
Wow, that's great what you're doing for these guys. So do you have another one of these planned, or what's the goal with your team 1 mile?
Yeah. So it's that has changed, but in a good way. I've somewhat solidified my direction. So in the past, again, what we were doing is we were kind of every year reshuffling the deck, starting over, kind of picking a new venue. It's like, where should we go next? Who can we help next? The downside for me was just that I had to start over every time. I'd start over building a team. I'd start over with a different state. I'd start over with different, almost a zero budget and say, okay, here we go again. But moving forward, I'm going to keep it in Wisconsin.
Oh.
The communities that we went to, the community support, the roads, the venues, everything was so amazing for everybody that, in a sense, I've found home for this team and this project. So next year we may change it up a little bit just with regards to, say, routes. And I'll probably change up the team a little bit just for chemistry and kind of expanding the project and allowing almost, you know, say new dynamics to who we are and what we do. But it'll be in Wisconsin, roughly the same time of the year.
And Lambeau will be one of your
destinations?
Points?
Well, absolutely. You know, when we come to Green Bay, you know, you kind of sit back and you go, well, when we're in Green Bay, where and what should we do? And so absolutely, it will be on kind of our internal touring list, right, to get over there and take pictures and see the sites and just get a real-life grasp. Even a lot of our teammates who, say, are not football players or football fans, they, too, were just in awe. You know, obviously, it was a home game weekend, so there are people and there's activity. But smiles and the excitement and God knows all the selfies. So, yes, yeah, so we'll stay here. And then after that, we went to the Vet Center. And at the Vet Center, what we do at each location is we have a rally point. The rally point is where we, in a sense, hook up with our escort, police, fire. Sometimes it's combat motorcycle veterans. And we will hold a staging area there until we're ready to roll into our event location. And this year, our event location was, you know, right down by you guys, right on Washington Street.
Oh, yeah, they said that. It was great.
Yeah, you would come rolling in with police flashing lights, and it's a great ceremonial entrance. And again, things that our teammates just have never experienced.
Yeah. Wow, that's a nice service.
Yeah.
Connecting everybody.
Absolutely.
You know,
bringing it all
common
together.
Thread. Yes.
Well, like I said, Mike, I know when it's all over, it's bittersweet sometimes, but congratulations on putting together a cross-country event that ended up about 20 yards away from where we're sitting here. That's really want to congratulate you and thank you for what you did.
You bet, guys. We'll see you again next year.
Sounds great, Mike. Take care. Mike Campbell, founder, president, Team 1 Mile. We've got McLeod Hageman, NBC 26, coming up, and we might put an end to the griddle controversy.
Okay.
We might put an end to that over the next few minutes.
Is he going
to
bring one?
We'll see. Back after this.
Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. That song was big in 1974.
Oh, boy.
1974. Because a buddy of mine was going out with a girl named Jolene.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I guess that's easy to remember.
I got a feeling that ruined her life because, you know, whenever you have a, you know what I mean? Murph was terrible at that. You would get some poor lady on, you know, whose name was ever. Like Rhonda Johnson. Yeah. Help me, Rhonda. It's like, yeah, never heard. She never heard that
right.
before.
That's
congratulations.
Totally,
you're the first person that
is,
to do that.
That is totally what I would say.
Yeah.
I would just be like, oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
That's unbelievable.
How did you come up with that?
That's great.
That is incredible. You should be in, like, radio or something.
You got to be in stand-up. That was so quick. That was so quick. I've never heard, my name's Jolene. No one ever sang that
to me. I'm going to sing it to myself now. Because that was so good.
And just keep going on and on.
Not stop.
Don't let him go.
Not stop.
That's crazy. Just tell me more about how you come up with those things. Yeah. Out of nowhere. I just met you now.
Yeah.
It's the first time I met you. I told you my name's Jolene.
And you came up
You
with
started
that.
Singing Jolene.
That's unbelievable.
Like, that's
nobody's ever done that. Unbelievable. Yeah. So, Steve Marshall. Good morning, Steve.
Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're live on the air with Mino and the Mayor.
Yes. So, Steve,
congratulations on a wonderful event.
Oh, my
the other
God.
Night.
Steve, that was awesome.
No, thank you.
And it was great to recognize, you know, Chopper and the big ones, but it was also really great how you honored the students who are studying law. Law, and they're coming
going
up in the profession.
It, yeah.
Yeah. 12 of them, $1,000 each.
Right. That's beautiful.
That was great.
Wow. Nice. But it's respect for law enforcement banquet, honored some great people, and it was a wonderful event. The way you guys put it together is truly exceptional.
The MC.
But, yeah, there's a problem.
No. So, Steve, when we were leaving, you had Johnny came up and said, I can't get my car over here. Could you carry this thing over?
Oh, yeah, no.
It was a grill. And Steve goes,
he said, hey, do you have a truck or an SUV? I said, yeah, I got an SUV. He goes, come here, I got one of those Blackstone grills for
right.
you. And I didn't know what they were. You'd mentioned you gave one to the Lifetime Achievement Award winner or something. Okay. So then we go, and it's huge, and it's heavy.
Like, and you pulled your car up.
Pulled my car up.
As light as can be, you could read everything.
It was, yeah. And then we put it in. It's, oh, that's so nice of those guys. They gave me a grill.
Right. It said right on their 28-inch.
Yep. But, okay, so last year we just bought a new grill and everything. So it's, oh, that's really nice then. But I'm going to ask Jim, do you need a grill? And Jim's like, no, I don't need a grill.
I did. Yeah. I said no.
And so then, I asked Todd. I said, Todd, I got this really great grill given you. Would you like it? And Todd, you said?
No, I've got one.
You got one.
Yep.
So.
And then you said, I don't want this thing. Can I just put it in your garage to me? Yeah,
okay.
And I'm like, yeah, where is it?
I said I was going to donate it to charity.
Right. That's
okay. So I was going to do that. So Jim says, okay, we've got this great bowling tournament coming up for our NEW community homeless shelter. Would you donate it to that as a raffle prize, as an auction item? I said, absolutely.
So I just want to say, Steve, I work at the community shelter. So I went back and talked to the CEO and I said, hey, I got a great gift from John Mino. He's donating a 28-inch grill. She goes, yeah, that guy's so great. He's come here before. He helped serve meals. I'm like, yeah, he's a good guy. I'm just, you know, everything's at sports. This guy's a community-minded person. She goes, well, that's great. Is he coming to the bowl-a-thon? I said, I don't know, but he's definitely donating that grill.
Okay, so Steve, here's the deal, though. So the next night, I have to do the auction for the Kakana VFW golf tournament, okay? And the guy's showing me the items. He goes, here's one of our top things. He said, it's this 28-inch Blackstone grill. I said, a guy just gave me. He said, these are the hottest things going. He said, you can't believe how popular these things are right now. He said, you're lucky you got one. He said, that's so awesome. True. So I went for over $600. I come back. Wow. I tell Jim, I said, Jim, would you mind if I took that grill back?
No, you didn't say it like that. You said, hey, I'm taking that grill back. I was at an auction last night. That thing went for $600. I'm like, John, you said you donated it. Yeah. Well, just tell him, you know, make something up, but I'm keeping the grill. Can you believe that?
So
I bet it's still in the back of your truck, John.
No, it's actually on my patio. It's on my patio. I haven't unpacked it yet, but it's on my patio in Manitowoc. Thus, I can't bring it back.
I'll go get it.
Yeah, I used mine last night for dinner. So
anyway, that's my dilemma. So I need you to make the judgment here, Steve. Do I give it back or do I not give it back? Do I give it to the homeless shelter to raise funds
for the poor,
or do I feed my family with it?
He's got a grill on his deck already.
You're killing me here.
I know.
Okay, Steve, this is not difficult.
If
he were your son,
Steve needs me for MC again next year.
I think that's what he's thinking too. I think that's why he's hesitating, because this is kind of a no brainer. Or
yeah. John, I mean, you promised something, didn't you?
Well, yes and no.
I mean, you know, if you know, you're going to do our gig next year again, and if you backed out on me after promising, I guess I'd be disappointed.
Yeah, but is there a difference because it's a Mino promise? That's my only question.
Good point, Todd.
Some people are like, let him off the hook. They're taking the side. Yeah, it's John Mino.
That's a wonderful point, Todd.
Right. It's
the greatest
Mino.
Producer in radio history. Yeah. Wow. Well, this didn't go as well as I planned.
Because I'll get Steve on the line. He'll set us straight.
Yeah, all right. Well, Steve, thank you very much. Thanks for making me feel really guilty.
We'll get you a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you will.
There you go.
See you next November. All right.
All right, Steve. Have a great day. Thanks for that event.
Yeah, okay. I don't even know your name anymore.
See, you've got nobody.
I was thinking he would be like, don't worry about it.
We'll there's a couple ways
another one, John.
Out of
I got
this.
One at my house. I'll give you another one. And
but yeah, we are out of it because we're going to get you one, Jim, for that.
No, but that, I know you
I
will.
Know, but I'm still got not, a stigma about
yes.
Me. I'm trying to find a way to cleanse my soul, but yet can't the griddle.
The only way you can cleanse your soul is go buy one and donate it. Or
I've been looking
the
up,
you got.
I've been looking up recipes, cooking things.
Great.
Like I said, my first thing was going to be a big shrimp thing and maybe catfish. I was going to invite you over.
No.
This whole thing.
Yeah. No. Just no? Tape those recipes to the box and send it over. You're out on this. I would not. If Todd.
I'm out.
I got to tell you, Johnny, if Todd said to me, I'll do it for you, I'm like, no. I'm a man.
I agree.
I
will return
problems.
It. I'm going to leave it on your porch.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to take a picture, and Todd's going to post that. If you put that on my porch,
I'm going to take...
I just hope it's not an empty box.
No, I thought you were going to say, I hope someone doesn't steal it.
Yeah,
that's true. Jim, I put it there. I put it there. It's gone,
John. Do you
have
one of those doorbell things where people can see? Yeah. You'll see me with a hoodie.
It's you. And then, like, literally, you drop off the box. Yeah. And then a couple
20 minutes
later
you're on the block. Me with glasses and a hoodie.
Yeah. Pick it up.
It's you because the limp you have now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Then I'd be coughing.
We would know it's you. Like those AMS, whatever.
Keep the griddle, John. Keep the griddle. I'll cover it. Okay, let's just do that.
But I still get the connotation.
Yeah,
of,
and it's gonna stay there.
Yeah,
it's and I might remind people. So I don't know, Johnny. Think this one through.
I appreciate Todd.
Todd, that's great that you are willing to bail him out. You guys are good friends, but
I'm so lonesome I could cry.
I think that's why he's playing that. All right, think about it, Johnny.
I'm so lonesome I could cry. Back after this.
I've never seen a night so long.